Welcome to the official podcast of Vertical Life Church. We are a non-denominational church located in Clio, Michigan. We exist to engage people where they are and lead them to becoming fully developed followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are drawn into a deeper relationship with God through this podcast and pray that through the sermons you listen to here, your faith would grow. We are always excited to hear from those who are impacted by this ministry, and we encourage you to email us at contact@vlchurch.tv to share how God is using this ministry in your life. If you would like to support this ministry, you can do so online at www.vlchurch.tv/give. Thank you for listening. The Christian calendar nationwide is called Advent. It's the 40 days leading up to Christmas. And the number 40 is a very unique number in the Bible. It is used to signify really the separation between two different time periods, a certain time in your life and then a transitional period of 40 days, then going into another period of time. This could be days or years in the scripture. It's used to signify many different transitional periods. And if we remember the stories of the Bible, even going back into the Old Testament, the number 40 is mentioned 146 times all throughout the scripture. According to a website called BibleStudy.org, the number 40 generally symbolizes a period of testing, trial, or probation. If you remember, during Moses' life, he lived for 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the desert before God selected him to lead the nation of Israel out of slavery. Moses also went on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights on two separate occasions. He sent spies to spy out the land of Canaan for 40 days before they were allowed to enter into the promised land. And because they rebelled against God, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The prophet Jonah powerfully warned ancient Nineveh for 40 days about its coming destruction because of the sinfulness of the nation. The prophet Ezekiel laid on his right side for 40 days to symbolize all of Judah's sins. The prophet Elijah went 40 days without food or water at Mount Horeb. And Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He also appeared to his disciples and others for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. 40 years after the crucifixion of Jesus, Jesus prophesied that the temple in Israel would be destroyed. And 40 years after his crucifixion in 70 AD, the Roman Empire entered the city and destroyed the temple. So as you can see, the number 40 is very significant in the Bible. Often when God uses numbers, they have a greater meaning than just a record of history. There's a spiritual significance to the number 40. And I believe that we as a church are in a transitional period of time. We've had many things occur over this last year that I believe have been difficult, have been a challenge. And I believe we're in a time where we're about to leave where we once were and move into who we were meant to be by God. That we're going to leave the struggles and trials of 2017 and we're going to walk into the blessings of God in 2018. Trusting in the Lord and following the Holy Spirit has never been an easy task. Just read the Bible. See what those that chose to stand with God and follow God went through. And I believe that as a church begins to capture vision of what God wants for them, vision on how to reach their community, vision of what each individual person in the body of Christ can do to make an impact on the kingdom of God, as we've been studying over the last several weeks in our last sermon series about going deeper with our relationship with God, leaving spiritual milk like babies and going into the meat of the word as vibrant, mature followers of Jesus Christ. I believe as we seek to know God more, to be filled up with his power and walk in power as a church united, that Satan is going to take notice. He's going to be aware of it. And he's going to attempt to stifle the work of God. And he does so in so many different ways. I mean, think about your life this week. You may even this week have begun to question many things. Maybe even question your faith. Is this stuff really true? If it is, why is my life a wreck? Why is my life a mess? If this is true, if following Christ is a better way, then why does my life seem to be upside down? Maybe you're questioning whether the Bible is actually true, or maybe this is just a bunch of old stories passed on through an old nation. Maybe you're questioning whether it's really important or not that you gather with a group of fellow believers at church on Sunday. Whatever the struggle is, whatever the battles have been, I can say too, honestly, I'm feeling it also. I've felt the onslaught of attack as of late. I know what we're going through personally. And I believe what God has laid on my heart for us to do together as we enter this Advent season, the next 40 days, preparing ourselves to remember the day Jesus came into the world, is for the next 40 days, we as a church, that we would pray together. That we would pray together as one, according to the promises of God, that God would fulfill his promises, he'd make provisions, and clarify the vision that he has for Vertical Life Church, for our ministry and our community. You see, the coming of Jesus, that Christmas day wasn't just a day that just happened, right? The Christmas day was an answer to many prayers, promises, hopes, and dreams for thousands of years. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, this is one of the scriptures that just scrolled across the screen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. And God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, 'All nations will be blessed through you.'" We can even go back before Abraham's time into the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned. Even in the sin where they were cast out of the Garden of Eden and sin was unleashed into the world, God made a promise that one day there would be one who would come that would destroy the works of the devil and the kingdom of the enemy. There would be one that would come that would make all things new. That there's this promise of the Messiah that he would come. He would come through Abraham's seed, and then through Abraham's family line, all the nations of the world would be blessed. This was a promise that God had given us even before Abraham, but through and Abraham's line. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and he was glad." The coming of Christ into the world was the realization of the hope that sustained the lives of many who walked after God. And I believe the reason why we get so discouraged, the reason why our faith oftentimes ends up in crisis mode and we don't really know what we believe and we kind of struggle with being faithful, is because we get our eyes off the promises of God. We stop focusing on what he's promised and we look at our problems and we let our problems become greater than his promises. And even though through all of Israel's idolatry, all of their rebellion, all the ways they turned their back on God and walked away from God in their nation's history, there were those among them who kept their faith, awaiting for the day that they would see the one who was prophesied to come. The day the Messiah would arrive. And when Jesus came, when he was born, the angels of heaven, they came before the shepherds and they declared tidings, great tidings of comfort and joy, because on this day in the city of David was born the Savior. It was the most momentous moment in all of history. That now before these shepherds, and they were so filled with joy that they ran from their flocks right into town, started telling everybody what had happened, because the promised one that Israel had been waiting for and that the world desperately needed had finally been fulfilled. Abraham looked forward to the promise, and that hope carried the faithful generations thereafter forward in humble obedience until that glorious day would come. And so here we are, November 2017. And as we look forward to Christmas, the time we celebrate this day where God came to save the world, in Christmas 2017, we remember the day Jesus came over the next 40 days. I'm calling us as a church to prayer. I'm calling us to pray that we're going to pray together and allow the hope that we have in Jesus and in the promises of God carry us forward, leaving the past behind and pressing toward the fulfillment of the promises in our day and in our time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 said that God rewards those who sincerely seek him. I don't know about you, but I want to be rewarded by God. I want to see the reward. I want to see the fulfillment of the things I ask and pray for. In Micah chapter 7, verse 7, the prophet Micah says this, "As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." Do you believe that today, church, that when you pray, that God, who is your hope, will hear you? He will hear. And as we pray together, we need to diligently and sincerely seek him. There cannot be any shadow of turning in our hearts or conflict in our heart when we pray. We need to pray expectantly in faith, believing God will answer. He will fulfill what he's promised. Do you believe God is faithful, church? Do you believe he's faithful? Do you believe he will do what he said he will do? Well, if the answer is yes, then we can expect him to fulfill what he's promised when we pray. It's not a question, God, if you get around to it, you might consider doing this. No, God, you said it. Come on, let's see it happen. We expect it in the name of Jesus. And we can expect him to fulfill his promises, not just when we pray together in the solemn assembly of this church gathering, but we can expect him to fulfill his promises when we pray alone on our knees before the Lord. We should expect God to fulfill his promises because that's what faith is all about. And what I'd like to do through this season of 40 days of prayer, when we gather together for worship, we're going to sing and we're going to go through some of the normal routine, but I'd like for us to just read some promises of God together. The word of God says that he sends out his word wherever he desires, and when his word goes out, it will accomplish the very thing he desires it to accomplish. It will never return void. And so as we look to the promises of God and we're praying according to the promises of God, I want us to read these promises together, and then I'll say a few words, and then I'm going to invite us as a church to pray. To pray together as one. And during the time of prayer, I ask the microphone that we normally have up front for testimony and sharing. It's going to be available. I'm going to ask anyone who feels led of the Holy Spirit to come and pray over the church, for the church, according to these promises. And for those of you that are still in your seat while the speaker is praying, I ask that, you feel led, you come forward and come down to the front of the stage. Make this an old-fashioned altar and kneel and pray before your God. Get together with the people next to you. Maybe you're sitting with your family. Get together and pray with your family. Pray as a church together. But whatever you feel led to do, whether it's come forward or stay in your seat or come forward and pray, we need to be praying together in agreement with one another. We need to be saying amen. We need to be offering the agreement. When somebody's praying and you're hearing something that you agree with, you need to confirm that prayer with the amen. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus said this. He says, "I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you." According to the Lord, agreeing with one another is pretty stinking important. It's important. Being in agreement with one another and verbalizing that agreement is important when we pray and living out this life of faith together. When we're in agreement, we're encouraging each other with our prayers, and we're in agreement, God hears and says, okay, let's go to work on their behalf. My ask is that each of us would commit to praying these promises, not just together as a church, but even throughout the week, that we pray over ourselves, we pray over our families, as well as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, you must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our calling as followers of Jesus Christ and people of God, to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. So those of you who pray in the Spirit, you should be praying prayers of intercession for the church as we pray, going before God continually on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as all of us need to be continually lifting our brothers and sisters in Christ up in prayer. As well, while we pray together in the church today, if we really want to see God move in faith, if we really want to have a different experience or maybe encounter the presence of God in a way that we might not have encountered him before, if we want to receive the blessings of God, we need to lift our hands together when we pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul tells Timothy, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. In every place of worship, this was Paul's instruction, to lift our hands to pray. Why? Because we're saying, God, you are all we need. You are the source of everything. God, there's nothing in this world that can get me what I need. God, you are it. I'm dependent on you. Please hear my cry. Daddy, pick me up. Father, come to my rescue. We need to be lifting our hands in praise and worship. Lifting your hands is not a magical thing. It's not, by the lifting of hands, it's not going to make mountains move. But what it does is it breaks down barriers in your own heart, removes pride, and allows you to be totally desperate for God to move on your behalf. And as we lift our hands, we can't ignore our own sin or the resentment in our hearts that we've been harboring or holding on to and expect God to bless our hands. It says, lift holy hands, which means we need to come with the prayer of confession of our sin and turn from our sin before we approach the throne of God. If we want to see God move mountains, when we lift our hands to pray, when we worship the Lord, we need to purify and consecrate ourselves before him so he will see our holy hands and be glorified in us and be moved to act on our behalf. During this time of prayer, we're also going to continue to entertain words of prophecy and encouraging words spoken over the church in regard to these promises or other things the Holy Spirit might bring to light during this process. And we'll pray through those revelations as well. But again, for the next 40 days, I'm asking you, let's let go of traditional, formal church. And let's just be the church. Let's hold fast to our faith. Let's build each other up as we focus on the promises of God together, looking forward to the fulfillment of what he's promised us in his word. Today, the promises that we're going to look at come out of Psalm 55, 22, Matthew 11, 29 through 30, 1 Peter 5, 10, Philippians 4, 6 through 9, and Isaiah 26, 3. And as we read these verses together, just meditate on what God is saying in his word. As we verbalize these passages of Scripture together, let it soak in how it pertains to your life and how it pertains to our church. And then use these prayers, these verses, as a basis for when we pray. And please, if you feel led to pray, don't hesitate to come forward and pray. Don't hesitate. If you feel that compulsion, the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you should go pray, get up and do it. Make it happen. Let's be obedient to the Spirit of God today and allow him to lead this thing. And let's see revival come to Clio High School today. Let's see the power of the Holy Spirit come alive in the hearts of the faithful that gather here for worship week after week. Father, as we now go into a time of prayer, in this solemn assembly of believers, God, the one thing that unites us is Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. and the unity that comes through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, I just pray against any division or disunity in this room. God, that we would all come into the unity of faith in Christ Jesus, that, God, you would break our hearts down, that we would let go of traditional and formalism and just be the church, that we would let faith lead today, in Jesus' name. And, God, as we pray according to these promises, God, I know you hear, and I ask you, God, to receive glory from what is done, and that you would respond, and respond quickly in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. The first promise that I want us to pray through today is number one, God will lift our burdens. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? God will lift our burdens. Let's read Psalm 55, verse 22 together. Ready? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Say this with me. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Ready? In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. See, God never promised we would not have struggles. But he has promised to lift the heavy burdens, the heavy weights at the right time, to give us rest for our souls, to support us, to strengthen us so we can endure through any circumstance. And so right now, I invite any who feels led to come forward in prayer, to come up right from your seat right now, to come forward in prayer. Cast your burdens before the Lord. Petition God to help the church find rest from its struggles, that God would give us strength and sustain us and keep us from being moved from the calling and anointing he's placed on us here at Vertical Life Church. If you feel led to pray, come on down and grab the microphone. For the next few moments, we're just going to pray together over this promise.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time that we are here together, gathered in your name, Jesus, and thank you that we have the freedom to do so. God, we are so blessed to be able to do that, Lord, and I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to each and every one of us. And I just pray that you would fill us with your spirit, God, and help us to go out into the world and preach, Lord, and just be your light and just fill us with confidence and boldness in Jesus' name, and that we would let go of all fear, Lord, and just teach us, Lord, and help us to be amazing for you, God. I just know that you're working in us and you're going to do great things through us, Father, and I just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Holy Spirit, come. God, we just cast all worry and anxiety and fear on you in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. God, times are uncertain, and the enemy schemes and plans and attacks in our most vulnerable places, causes us to doubt. But God, we know and we believe you are faithful. And you're going to take our burdens. You're going to lighten the load. You're going to give us strength to endure and the power to carry on. That you never waste a hurt. That all things work together for your good. Those that love God. So God, we just cast all fears, all financial fears on you in the name of Jesus. All health fears in the name of Jesus. Yes. The second promise I want us to look to today is this. That God will guard us with his perfect peace. God will guard us with his perfect peace. Let's read Philippians 4, 6 through 9 together. Okay. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you." See, God is interested in our struggles, and he wants us to pour our hearts out to him. Unceasing prayer is one of the values we have at Vertical Life Church. He wants us to leave our burdens at his feet and not walk in the fear of anxiety and the struggles or the unsureties of the future. And he's promised to guard our hearts and minds with his peace. His peace is available to everyone who fixes their thoughts on the Lord. And so right now, I invite anyone who feels led of God to come and pray for our church, to guard our hearts and minds with his peace, to keep our thoughts fixed on what is good, to guard us against the enemy trying to get us to focus on negative things or cause disunity or disruption in the church through self-focus, negative speech, fear, worry, what have you, whatever the enemy tries to throw at us. I invite you to come and pray for our church, that God would guard us with his perfect peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, you tell us we have not because we ask not. And Father, I don't want to go away today asking myself later why I didn't pray something in front of this church. Father, we come as sinners and we confess our sins to you. Lord, we know the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by you. And we pray, Father, for the churches around the world, for the persecution that's taking place. Father, we're praying for Texas. Lord, let us be your light. Lord, let us the opportunity as we leave today with our church members, our friends, and our family, Lord, that we put the focus back on you. Lord, you love us, and you are the perfect example of love. Lord, let us be the love of the world. Let us be the light, not just in our words, but in our actions. Lord, in James, it says that faith without works is dead. But Lord, give us an open heart to love people when they're hurting. And we know our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, many of them are hurting. Lord, just give us a heart for them. Let us pray for them, Father, as a church. Hear this prayer, Father. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.
I was reading the scripture and paraphrased the Message Bible, and it just spoke to my heart. And just a reminder, it's pretty well known, but it starts out with the Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so that they can be one heart and one mind, as we are one heart and one mind. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for us. Thank you for this prayer for the church, not just for the apostles, but for the us too, Lord, that we would just be, that we're grafted in on these promises that you've given us. Help us be one with each other, with you, Lord, and with each other, as you are one. We love you. We thank you. Help us guard our hearts and help the joy of you, Lord, be our strength. In your name, Father, amen.
Lord, I come to you, and I thank you. I thank you for what you've already done here. I thank you for this time of transition. I thank you for the troubles that we do have so that we can be sanctified in your name. Lord, I thank you for you, and I just ask you to bless this church. Bless this church as we try to pioneer out into our community and try to be a leader in this community. And we ask this because we don't just want your presence in this place. We want you front and center, Lord. We want you. We want nothing less and nothing more than what you are. We just want to show you off. We want you to show up and show off, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless that which is your work. And we ask that we can be in that will, and that we can show the community who you are, what you are, and what you stand for, and what we can have in you, Lord. Lord, it's all about you. We give up all rights to self. We give up all rights to think our way is better. We give up our own will, our own thoughts, our own beliefs, so that we can center on you. And we go out into the community and we show them that your way is better. We glorify you by living your ways, Lord. Lord, we know this time of transition is for our good, and we thank you for that. We don't know what's on the other side. We just thank you that it's your will, and we know that it's going to be good because you work all things together for our good, and we know that. Love. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Father, you said you would guard us with your perfect peace if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Everyone whose thoughts are fixed on you, you are going to keep in perfect peace. So God, I just ask that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus. God, even when the storms come, even when the battle rages on, God, that we would not take our eyes off the Lord. We would keep walking step after step, that we would not fall in the ocean like Peter, God, but we would keep walking amidst the waves and the wind. God, we keep moving forward in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray for perfect peace to guard our families, God, to guard our marriages, to guard us in our places of work, God, to guard us as we work together and serve together, as we minister to one another, God, as we go out into the world and share your love with people who don't even have a clue who you are, God, I just pray that you would guard us with perfect peace. Because as we take the gospel into the streets, as we walk as a light in our places of work and around those that are far from you, God, the enemy is going to take notice, and he's going to bring struggle. He's going to attack us where we're the weakest, where we don't expect it coming, God. He's going to make our burden seem too big to bear. He's going to make our faith feel weak and ineffective. He's going to pull us away from our church family, away from the truths that we know so dear to our hearts in the scripture. He's going to do everything he can to stifle the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So God, I'm asking you to fulfill these promises in our church, God, that you would lift the burdens, God, that you would direct our eyes to the Lord, that you would guard us in perfect peace, God, that you would sustain us and strengthen us, God, that you would let faith and hope arise in this place, just as Jesus was the catalyst for hope to the world, God, and many for years and years looked for his coming, God. We look for the fulfillment of these promises in our lives. I know there are people here today that barely walked in this place today, God. I know there are people that are suffering from health issues that are wrecking their faith. I know there are people in here with marriage issues and abuse in the past and the things that just the enemy keeps bringing to mind, God, the damage and the hurt that continues to be a revolving door in our minds, causing us to take our eyes off the Lord and focus on our problems. God, the enemy is at work against us. And so, God, we just bind the spirit of division and discord. We bind the work of Satan in our lives in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask by the shed blood of Christ that that would be put away and that we would be free to focus on the Lord, that we'd be raised up as a church united, that we'd be raised up as the militant church walking against the powers of darkness, God. That our financial worries, that our health struggles, that you know the issues we have with our coworkers or that one relative that we wish would never show up to the Christmas party, God, it doesn't matter who it is, God. I just pray that we would be focused on you and being the light and walking in your love. That it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. Our eyes don't come off of Jesus. That we live for him, to him, and through him right now in the name of Jesus. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You're faithful to forgive us of our sins. You're faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You're faithful to give us a second chance. You're faithful to never abandon us or leave us alone. You're faithful to give us strength when we're weak. You're faithful to provide when provision is a long way off. So we ask you, God, in agreement and unity today, that you would fulfill these promises, that there'd be a release of the strongholds right now in the name of Jesus, the strongholds of fear, anxiety, depression, guilt, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, all the things the enemy is using to keep us bogged down and keep our eyes off the Lord. God, I just pray a release of the captives now in the name of Jesus, that we would be free. The word says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And we declare that today in the name of Jesus. That as we keep our eyes on Christ, we will walk free from our prison bars. God, in the perfect peace that can only come from you will guard our hearts and minds. We stand as a church united. And we receive these blessings in faith now in Jesus' name. The church agrees, we pray together by saying, amen. Let's all stand for one more song.